That kind of heavy metal scream singing sounds like it hurts, and maybe it does. But vocal coach Melissa Cross teaches hard rock vocalists how to sing loudly, correctly. She has an instructional DVD called The Zen of Screaming. Terry spoke with Melissa Cross in 2005.
Melissa Cross, welcome to Fresh Air. What's some of the typical damage that metal and punk singers have?
Well, it starts out with like chronic swelling, and that swelling often turns into nodules, polyps, cysts, and that is because of the just overuse. In other words, the vocal cords tap together. And when you bang them together, because they're always swollen, in other words, to get a result, the scar tissue develops on the actual vocal fold. That's called a nodule. And sometimes it's a fluid-filled injury, which is a polyp. And the results of those two things are the same. The actual polyp or nodule closes before the vocal cords close together. And you get this air. So it goes like, hi, hi. See, like there's a delay on the on the cord closing. So they walk around like that and try to finish a tour, and basically they end up not being able to say anything. It's just like, that kind of thing.
Is there a way to scream without shredding your vocal cords? Maybe you could give us a demonstration of a scream that you think is not damaging and a scream that you think is damaging.
Okay, I'll explain. The scream that does not damage is the scream that identifies the false vocal cords, which are actually located higher in the throat. The true cords, those are the ones that sing, right? The false cords are just distortion, and they're located higher in the throat. It's almost as if the powers that be, whoever, whatever created us, started an operation for vocal cords a little higher up and didn't finish them. So it's actually like higher up, it sounds like like shrieking, sounds like an animal. Right? That's the correct way.
No, that sounds, that sounds to me like it might hurt.
It doesn't hurt a bit. Mm-hmm. If it hurt me, I wouldn't be able to say it doesn't hurt a bit, because I would say it doesn't hurt a bit, because I didn't use too much of my true vocal cords. Now, if I get all excited and try to sound really bad, you know, like really like violent, and put the feeling in my throat that actually even I get when someone takes my parking space, then I'll tighten everything up in my body and go, like that, and I'm using too much gag reflex and too much pressure on my larynx, and that's what causes the swelling.
Now, the first way you did it, the way that you screamed that wouldn't hurt your voice, it did sound kind of like a weird beast. can you actually make that into singing?
When it has a note to it, I call that heat. And one of the advanced applications that I try to teach my clients so that they can really step up the bar on this particular genre of music is to be able to transfer from scream to singing within a note. Say it's like, like to keep going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So it's not all do, 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 and then do, do, not back and forth like good cop, bad cop. But I really like the art of actually bringing that stuff in and pulling it out and bringing it in and pulling it out and doing it very artistically. There is a faction of the genre that does not appreciate any kind of pitch at all. And you will find in any, tribe-oriented music that they have, they have like your death metal tribe, you have your metalcore tribe, you have these factions of kids that have separated themselves by virtue of the sound of their music. There's all these names they have for it. It's very funny.
Now, you were a trained singer, but then you ended up in a punk band in what, the 80s?
Yes, first time around.
Okay.
Late 70s.
So how did you go from being a trained singer? What did you expect you'd be doing? Probably not being in a punk band.
Well, it was my spirit that was, going the punk way. And, it was just around that time that we had, the Sex Pistols, and that was beginning, and I wanted to be a part of it. Now, what I had learned in vocal training absolutely had no context in that at all. There was singing, there was notes, but what I had learned to do was like all head resonance, which is the difference between what any kind of contemporary music involves more chest resonance instead of head resonance.
Demonstrate the difference for us.
Chest resonance is when I'm speaking to you. Head resonance is this. Now, that's in the speaking context. This is head. Now, in singing, if I go for my head resonance, I go, and if in my full chest, it's like, right? It's a whole different sound. It's a higher larynx position. It sounds more like talking. It doesn't sound like, it sounds like, you know, more of that and the rocks and in the rock sense. I can do it, you know, a little less, you know, extremely. I mean, I can go, oh, you know, there's different, you know, I don't have to go straight to the rock thing, to the opera thing. There are some things in between. I had such a, there is a right way to do this, and my teacher taught me this, and therefore I am supposed to do this and that to make a good sound. And that is what I had to throw out the window to get on stage and scream at CBGBs. And I hurt myself. I got a polyp. I did not have surgery. I healed myself through speech therapy. And it was through the speech therapy that I actually found out the missing link between the two.
And what did you find out?
The link between speaking and singing is the use of head resonance in speaking. If you use head resonance in speaking, then you are actually balancing the placement of the voice so that the throat is open. The overtones are there. Head resonance is overtone. If you take out the head resonance and put it on your throat, you see, now I'm talking without any head resonance whatsoever. I didn't change the pitch, but you see, it's like really brassy, you know? It's like really, you know? But now I moved it up with head resonance in my speaking, and I was able to understand in a sensation way what it is to utilize head resonance without singing opera.
You give your students certain images to use to help them really inflate their lungs and to take deep breaths from the diaphragm so that they get that full air supply. What are some of the images that you use?
I absolutely tell them never to think about the diaphragm. The diaphragm is actually a large muscle that is located up inside the rib cage, and its sole purpose is to draw air in and release air. Now, in exercises, you might want to like focus on how that works, but in performance, you would never, ever think about your diaphragm. I prefer the Wagnerian school or the German school of singing, which I think is more conducive to rock singing. By the way, the diaphragmatic training is bel canto. That is a very common classical, it's the way I learned how to sing classical music. It's the most common vocal training. The other German school involves the lower rib cage, and it is by virtue of expanding the lower ribs out to the side while taking a breath and not engaging the muscles in the upper chest that you get a full breath. And it doesn't feel like a full breath because it doesn't, what people normally associate with a full breath is the lift of the upper chest. You take that big, right, and your breasts come up into your chin, right, and you think that's a big breath. Actually, that's too much air because you don't need that much air. Too much air makes you hold your breath. Just the right amount, which is determined by the expansion of the rib cage coordinated with the intake of air, just the right amount is manageable for this consistency. And that image, for women, I call it strapless bra. And the breath is called a by the way. Now, these two go together. A by the way is if, say you forgot to say something, you go, oh, by the way, hear that little breath? By the way, it's just a little tiny sip of air. And I, at the same time that I take that relaxed little sip, I boost my rib cage as though I need to keep a strapless bra from coming down under my skirt, under my dress. So a by the way in strapless bra is all the thinking my students are ever allowed to have about breathing.
Well, Melissa Cross, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Melissa Cross, speaking to Terry Gross in 2005. She has an instructional DVD demonstrating her vocal techniques called The Zen of Screaming. I'm David Bean Cooley, and this is Fresh Air. In the face, we are screaming.